Welcome to session number six, day number six for most of you, I'm sure. This is the day in which you figure out how do you plan your day. More importantly, the topic here is the five master steps for creating a plan for your day, a plan for your week, a plan for your projects, anything you're after, you'll go through the same five steps. And I'm going to start with a day, even though most of the planning that I do, honestly, starts at a weekly level. In other words, I don't try to figure out what I want to do today. Well, first of all, I don't do that at all. I find out what my outcomes are today. But does it make sense that if you start upstream and you say, what are the outcomes? What are the results I want to produce this week? Then pretty soon it'll be obvious what to work on each day. Does that make more sense? Well, if you really think about our planning, we're even upstream from the week. Because what we've done is we've created a plan for our life. We've identified these areas of our life that we're not only going to continually focus on. And what you focus on, you tend to feel. What you focus on, you move towards. What you focus on, you tend to achieve. But also, these areas are not just about focus. We call them categories of constant and never-ending improvement. Categories of improvement, for short. These COIs, categories of improvement, are those areas that by constantly improving them, we're going to have an extraordinary level of success in our lives. We're going to feel incredibly fulfilled, and our life is going to experience the power of balance. So you might say, well, Tony, how do I know what I want to do this week? The answer is, you know the areas of your life that are most important. You've developed a vision for ultimately what do you want out of those areas of your life, and an ultimate purpose as well, haven't you? And maybe you've looked at your resources and you set some one-year goals and maybe some quarterly goals. So guess what? You'll look at those to decide what you want to do this week. And you'll design your week, which I'm going to teach you on another tape. And the reason I'm going to start with a day, though, is just to keep it simple. And in the last tape on chunking, I kind of gave you an example of a day. So I believe repetition's the mother of skill. So I'm going to give you an actual day, one out of my life, and walk you through it while I teach you these five master steps. Okay? So get the idea. You're creating a plan for your life, which gives you these areas of life, both personally and professionally. They're so important to you, and you know they are. You've juiced up those areas by enhancing the language and coming up with roles that make you want to go there. Before it was like, well, I got to go work as a stockbroker. Now you're that treasure hunter. Oh, I got to do my school teaching today. And now you're saying I'm a developer of the human spirit. What are my visions for ultimately what I'm going to do within that career or within that position in the company? What's my ultimate vision for my relationship, my body? And then you say, what's my ultimate purpose? And then once again, you came up with yearly outcomes. So from that, from a review of that, you're going to decide what you want to do this month and what outcomes you want to go for this week. And then ultimately, that'll guide what outcomes you'll decide on a daily basis. So let's take a look first. What are the five master steps of planning? And I will tell you that most people fail to plan simply because they don't have a system for planning that's absolutely simple and consistent and guarantees they don't drop things out. Hey, listen, with a clear plan, clarity is power. It gives you flexibility. You're going to be interrupted. You're going to have all kinds of things happen in your day. You want to make sure that what's most important to you is where you spend your time. That's how you'll get more time. So here are the steps. And what I'll do is I'll teach a step and I'll describe a day of my life and how I did it. And I'll kind of walk you through it. Now, again, in your notebook, there'll be an example of this if you want to follow along. But hopefully I'll be able to make it clear enough in your head that if your notebook's not there, you'll still understand this. If it is there, I'd grab it. It'll help immensely. And look up the section on planning your day, the five master steps of planning and planning your day, and you'll see the example of me. Now, here's what I want you to do. Here's the first step to planning anything, day, week, month, year, doesn't matter. Number one, capture. Capture is the very first step. Now, what does capture mean? It means that you want to get all the stuff that's in your head, and you want to dump it. You want to get it out of your mind so you're not trying to hang on to it all because that creates stress. So every time planner, I don't care whose it is, if it's a Franklin or a Covey, which are the same companies, or a day runner or a day timer, all these companies have wonderful little planners, and that is their primary function. It's just to capture. What you do is you dump everything that's in your head so you don't have to carry it around. If you have one of those U.S. robotics little devices, you drop your little to-do list in there. Well, after I told you don't create to-do lists, it is still the first step to just dump it out of your head, only we're not going to stop there so you're overwhelmed. We're going to organize it in a much more effective way than just the A, B, C priority, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to remember what we're going to do. We're going to chunk it. We're going to find items that we're going after within our day and our to-do list. And we're going to say, which of these relate together? And what is the ultimate result I'm really after? Like, what is it I want out of all this? And then what that'll do is that'll redirect your focus from the to-do list to the big result you're after. Then you'll know why you want to do it. And then you'll cross off your to-do list as you begin to create what we call OPA blocks, that visual chunking system, a way of organizing this information so you can quickly, in a heartbeat, know what you're after, why you're after it, and how you're going to make it happen. That's OPA. So first step is capture. Now, what does that mean? What do you want to capture? Well, if you have your life planner in front of you, I'd unzip it and take a look at any day. You'll notice, by the way, that the days have tabs on them from 1 to 31. And that's because in many time planners, you'll see they have one plastic filler that says today. And you have to take that out each day and move it. Well, the challenge with that is if I think of something that I want to capture, something I think I may need to do on the 27th of the month, and today is the 5th, you won't take the time to actually flip through a million pages looking for the 27th. Because the idea comes in your head, you want to be able to open your book and immediately write it down and forget about it until that day when you go to plan it. So one of the things I want you to be able to do is use this book in a way to get you where you want to go. So quickly, if your book is in front of you, open it to any daily plan page. You know, those are the 1 through 31s, obviously. Those are the days of the month. Now, you'll notice there are two pages for planning. So I want to point this out to you since we're going to be talking about a day so you get a visual in your mind, or again, in your manual, it'll walk you through this anyway. But on the left-hand side, you'll see up at the top, step number one. Do you see that? It says pre-plan, capture. And you say, well, what the heck does that mean, create a pre-plan? Well, we don't want to touch the right side of this page until the day we're actually going to do the planning. Let me explain to you why. Lots of time you're using a planner, a normal to-do planner. And then, by the way, here's what I want you to think about. Get rid of your to-do planner and get a life planner. Right? You don't want a to-do planner. It'll make you crazy. You got to have a life planner. That's what's sitting in front of you. Now, take a look on that left side. It says pre-plan capture. What is this first step to planning? It says brainstorm all the outcomes, all the results you want for today. Any action items, any projects, any communications, any calls that need to happen today for today to be successful. Okay, that's all you got to do. And so you're going to dump. And this is kind of like a brain dump, a brainstorming. So one section at the top says outcomes, actions, and projects. Anything you think. You say, oh, I got to meet with John Smith. That goes there. I've got to create a plan for marketing. That goes there. I've got to call my daughter. That goes under the bottom part that says communications and follow-ups. They're all part of just a capture section. The second section next to it you'll see says time schedule, has midnight to midnight because that's how we really live our lives. You get to see how much time you're sleeping or messing around. If that's fine, you just want to know where it's going. But if you look on the right page, that's going to take us to step two when we get there, which says create your master plan. It's going to say what are the most important outcomes or results I must produce today in order for this day to be both successful and fulfilling for me. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I want to get a picture of where all this happens. So here's my day. Imagine this is my day in front of me, and if you wanted to do this, you could actually write it out. Or if you're just looking in your manual, you can review it. Or if you're just driving in your car or walking without a manual while you're listening to this tape, that's fine. I think you'll be able to get the picture. So what is step number one in planning always? Keyword, what is it? Capture. What are you capturing? Anything. I mean, think of this as a page that you're going to use as the base of information from which to create an OPA master plan for the day. So you quickly capture your ideas, your to-dos, your phone calls, your communications. It's a page to capture all your brainstorms, a place to get ideas quickly out of your head and onto paper. This is not your actual plan. Otherwise, you got yourself another day planner. This is the foundation from which we're going to create a plan, which is going to be step number two, by the way. It'll provide all the information you're going to need to remember when you create your action plan. So if you want to write this down or look in your manual, it'll be written there. Everything is driven by questions, right? Let's remind ourselves. What was the first tape of this series about, this 10 days to give you more time to create the time of your life? We said everything in your life that you feel is based on what you focus on. And when we're experiencing more time, it's not really more time. It's just we've changed our focus and we feel differently. Remember we talked about this? When a minute feels like an eternity or when 5 hours feels like no time at all? All depends on what you focus on. And questions control what you focus on. So when you go to step one of capture, the question you want to ask yourself is simple. What are the things I need to do or accomplish or create or maintain or make happen or follow through on today? Who do I need to talk to? Who do I need to meet with or connect with? And just dump everything out of your head. Just write it, write it, write it, write it. And you can close your book and you'll be driving to the cleaners and something will pop in your head. And you go, oh yeah, I got to do this other thing tomorrow. And you'll open your book, you write it in your capture section, close your book, forget about it. Oh my gosh, on the 24th, I got to make sure I call John Smith. Flip to the 24th, write it in the capture section, close your book, forget about it. See, what's nice is this is the forget about it planner. Right? It allows you to not think about things until it's time to. And that's why we call it a pre-plan. Because when you get to that day, you may decide you want to do all these things. And you won't have your whole day lined out. You just have a little capture section to remind you of the things you thought were important. Does that start to make sense? So here's what I did with my day. And let me describe the day for you first. here I am. I'm at Life Mastery, which is part of my Master University program. I've got people from 65 nations. I got six languages being translated simultaneously. It's a 9-day program. So on this particular day, I'm going to create a plan for. The subject of that day is emotional mastery. I believe that most people in life are not emotionally fit. They don't feel the sense of psychological strength and power that allows them to have absolute certainty that no matter what happens in your life, you will absolutely achieve what you really want long term, that you'll be fulfilled, that you'll make the difference you want to make. So I'm passionate about the subject, and I'm going to be on stage. People exercise in the morning, and then I've got to be on stage by 9:45. And I'll still be on stage till about 3:45. Then we have roughly a 2-hour break, 2.5-hour break, and then I'm back on stage again. And I go roughly from 6:15 to about 11:30, 11:45 at night. It's an incredibly intense day. And to have people have a phenomenal time at that, I've got to be fully prepared. But with that many hours, you might say, well, Tony, you're not going to get anything else done. Well, if I had a to-do list, I'd agree with you. Now, I'm going to describe this day to you, and I want to show you that no matter how busy you are, you can still get done the things you want most if you'll just do a little planning. You don't have to let everyone take away what's important to you. And I don't make every day as intense as the one I'm going to describe to you, but I'm using it as an example to show you what you can get out of a day if you have clarity on what you're really after. So here's what my capture list looked like. I got a call from a guy named Lenny, who is directly related to my infomercials. And then I also said, well, gosh, I got to call my son Josh because I'm away for 2 weeks. He's in college, and I want to stay on top of a couple things he's doing because I want to make sure he keeps making progress. He was valedictorian of his class, and I feel like he's wavering a little bit now that he's in college. So there's a couple things I really need to communicate to him, and I don't want to wait 2 weeks till I get home to have that conversation. So I really got to call him. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm watching the stock market, and it's jumping up and down. I go, I need to call my stockbroker and decide what I want to do. Had an amazing year. I'm up 200% on my investments. I'm really proud of that. Actually, it was 201 to be exact. And I'm concerned. The market's getting really volatile. I think I need to protect some of my profits. I might want to put some of my money back into cash. Let me think that through. So I'd write down, call my stockbroker. And then I want to have dinner with Becky because, my gosh, I've been so busy, working so hard. I'm seeing her from a distance. I'm falling asleep at night, getting up early in the morning, go, 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 go. So I need to visit with her. I should have dinner with her. And I thought, oh, I got to take care of myself. In the middle of all this stuff, I really need to go running. I need to keep my aerobic power there so on stage I'm really effective. And I thought, well, what else I got to do? I got a message from Sam Georges, who's the COO of the Anthony Robbins Company, saying he really wants to visit with me on the integration of our new system software. I thought, okay, all right. I thought, man, you know what else? It's great to run, but I really need to lift some weights. You know, I want that feeling of pump and strength. Because, again, I've been pushing myself, but I've not really done it systematically in a muscular fashion. I want to do that. And I thought, you know, I haven't talked to Peter Gruber. He's a good friend of mine. I need to dictate a note to him. And then I looked down, and I got a call from Greg Ranker, who's my partner at Guthrie Ranker Corporation in the seminar business. So it's related to my company, Tony Robbins Productions. So I thought, okay, I got all these things. Now, so what do I have here so far? I've got call Lenny, call my son Josh, meet with my stockbroker, have dinner with Becky, go running, meet with Sam, dictate a note to Peter, lift weights, and call Greg Ranker. I thought to myself, oh my gosh, look at this to-do list, and I'm on stage for roughly 11 hours. Again, from 9:45 to 3:45, and from 6 to about 11:45. So I thought, oh my God, it's full day. I can't do any of this, and I have a belief system. Bull. With a plan, you can do much more than you ever dreamed of, and there are things here I know are important. But as long as they're to-dos, I feel overwhelmed, because guess what they are? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different action items on my list already, and I know that's not everything, not including mastery. So I said, okay, I've captured. Let me tell you the secret. When you're in this capture section, you don't want to stop there. You stop there, you're going to be stressed. You're going to have this massive list of things. Remember when we talked about the woman in the last tape who chunks exercise into 50 million pieces? We want to break this down into smaller chunks. We want to see which of these things relate to one another. So even before I start to create an open master plan, do any of these items relate? Well, I look at my list, and if you have it in front of you, you can look at it. Or if you remember it, I thought, call Lenny is related to the infomercial, and so is call Greg Ranker. You know, call my son Josh and having dinner with Becky relate to one another. Meeting with my stockbroker doesn't seem to meet with anything else, but going running and lifting weights go together. Meeting Sam doesn't seem to go with anything else, and neither is dictating a note to Peter. So on the surface, I can already see two or three things that relate to each other. Do you follow the thinking process? I'm starting to chunk. But the way you do this is you don't stop at capture. You go to step number two of planning. Planning a day, a week, a project, anything. Step number two is always the same. Create an OPA master plan. So first step is capture. Dump it all out of your head. And you can do that over the course of days or weeks before that day. But when you get to that day, finish brainstorming, look at the list, and ask yourself those three OPA questions when you get to step two. When you're going to create the plan on that right page, what you're going to ask yourself is what it says on the right page of your planner. In the 1 through 31 section, if you've looked, it says, step number two, create your master plan. So you don't have to remember this stuff. It's in front of you. And it says, what are the most important outcomes / results I must produce in order for this day to be both successful and fulfilling for me? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to answer a question. By the way, if you look at that sheet, what's in the middle of the page roughly, slightly to the right? The outcome. What's to the right, like we talked about? The purpose. And then the left is the action list. Now remember, we have the outcome there in the middle because we want our brain to go there first, to always know where the result is. And the actions are on the left because they're moving us towards the outcome. Think of it, the actions as being an arrow trying to get us to the outcome. And the reason we want the outcome is behind it, called the purpose. So now let's walk through this step. OPA, step number two, create a master plan, requires you ask three questions. What's the first one? What's the O? You know it. It says, what is, out of this whole list of things I have here, and as I think about this day, what's one of the most important outcomes that I need to accomplish today? And I looked down at my list, and I saw call Lenny and call Greg Ranker, and I saw having dinner with Becky and calling my son, and I saw all these things, and I said, okay, one of the most important outcomes today is, even though I'm here at the seminar, I need to make certain I make progress on my next infomercial. Does that make sense? I can't complete it today when I'm on stage for 11 hours, but I thought I need to make major progress so I keep momentum. So I said, okay, let me language that in a way that's fairly simple, very clear, because the more clear your outcome is, the better off you're going to be. So I thought, okay, what's my real outcome here? And I said, all right, my outcome is I want to make major progress on my infomercial. And I thought, you know what? That's not juicy enough. Let me make it even more clear because I want to really want this outcome. So I said, I want to make major progress on producing my most outstanding infomercial to date. Is that a good quality outcome? Yeah, it's specific. Now it's a little more juicy because it's the most outstanding one. I just want to create an infomercial. I want to do one that's great, outstanding. So then what's the second question now that I have an outcome? Second question is, what is your what? What's the P? What's my purpose? Why do I want to do this? What will this give me? How will this make me feel? And then I write down a couple of key words. I say, well, the number one reason is change lives, the impact of that, having fun, expanding my identity. Because when I create an infomercial, more people find out about who I am. And I get a chance to meet more people and connect and support more people. And I said, finally, a little detail left out of my mind. I also get paid $3 million to do this. Well, minor detail. I thought, my gosh, you know, and no wonder, maybe now I really feel like doing something today, even though I have 11 hours of work ahead of me. Maybe I really want to make something that'll give me definitive progress. Do you follow that? I got the reasons and I got a clear outcome. So now I say, what do I need to do? I said, well, I got to call Lenny back. But see, I could have called Lenny on a to-do list. Now hear me on this. I could have called Lenny, found out what he wanted, hung up, and not made any real progress on the infomercial. Do you follow that? See, activity without a clear outcome and a clear purpose is a drain to your fortune, to your fulfillment, to the quality of life you deserve. If you want the time of your life, you got to say, what's my outcome for this? So I write down, call Lenny. Now I know what the outcome is. No matter what he's calling me about, I'm going to make sure we make progress on the infomercial. And I thought, well, what else do I need to do? I've got my to-do list done, but I don't know if that to-do list is going to make major progress on the infomercial. So I thought, well, why is Lenny calling me? Probably. Well, he's at the stage that he's probably shooting testimonials for the show. So I thought, okay, here's an action item. I need to brainstorm a list of possible people who could share testimonials, people I know have gotten extraordinary results. So I'm prepared and I can give that to him. So if that's what he's calling about, I've anticipated what he needs and I can deliver to him immediately. I thought, well, what else could I do? What could I do to get the real outcome, to make major progress on the production of my most outstanding infomercial of the day? What would help that the most? And I thought, well, I got to call Greg Ranker. So I wrote that down. And I thought, well, why is Greg calling me probably? I know why he's calling. He wants to go over the budget. So I think, okay, another action item to make progress. I need to brainstorm not only what I believe the final budget needs to be, but why Greg should invest in it, what the return's going to be, why it'll work, because I need to be prepared for that. And by the way, there's a place in my OPA planner for any conversation with Greg. We'll walk through this later on, but you'll notice there's an A through Z section. In that A through Z section, I don't just write like the phone numbers of the people I communicate with. I actually put in a little piece of paper in there called a communication record. And the people I talk to on a regular basis, I put them under their letter. So under G, I have Greg. And so I start coming up with ideas to talk to Greg about, I put it there. So that whenever I talk to Greg, whether it's today, a week from now, a month from now, Anything I need to talk about is in that place. It's captured, get it? And it's waiting for me when I want to talk with him. I don't have to think about it anymore. So I thought, okay, I'm going to need to brainstorm tomorrow the budget and why he really should invest, so I'm ready for him to say no, and we've got a way to deal with that. I thought, okay, you know, all these things are really important, but are these going to really by themselves give me the outcome I'm after? Let's look back now at the outcome. I want to make major progress on producing my most outstanding infomercial to date. Well, these will make progress, but is there something else I could do? It's not on my to-do list. I thought, what can make the most progress of all? I thought, well, the right testimonials. Because when I say, hey, this product is phenomenal, people look at me and they go, yeah, well, of course. It's your company. It's your ideas. You know, you're humble, right? So, of course, you're going to think it's great. But when you get somebody that people can relate to, and I thought, well, I have two types of people. Famous people, not so famous people. Who could I get on the famous side for this infomercial? It would be a new person. I thought for a while, and I glanced down at the newspaper from that morning, and it was USA Today. And I looked through it, and on the top section, not the sports section, but the top, it says, Greg Norman wins it in the World Series of Golf. And I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to him in a week. I flipped to the sports section, and I read about how Greg totally turned it around. He was four shots down, and he flipped it around and won by four shots. Huge turnaround. And there's all this great praise for him. And I've been working with him for the last few months. So I thought, I know what I need to do tomorrow. I need to call Greg Norman and say, Greg, how's it going? Acknowledge him for what happened. And then see if he'd be willing to appear in the infomercial without a fee, which is a huge thing considering how many people pay him millions to endorse. So it may not happen, but I got to try it. If I could do that, that would be major progress in the infomercial. Now I want you to see what Oprah's done. Look what's happened. Instead of calling Lenny and calling Greg, if I didn't do all these things, remember my rule about 20% of things make 80% of the difference? If all I did was call Greg Norman, and if he actually agreed to do this, would that make major progress for the infomercial? You bet. So let's review the list I've got here. In this OPA block, I have a clear outcome. I have a clear purpose that drives me, both emotional, economic, a sense of identity and impact. And I've got a list of things here. What are they? I'm going to call Lenny. I'm going to call Greg Ranker. I'm going to brainstorm a list of testimonials to give to Lenny. I'm going to brainstorm ways to make sure that Greg wants to invest the money in the budget that we need. And I'm going to call Greg Norman. You now have an OPA block. Do you follow me on this? And I usually leave a couple of blank spaces in the action items in case I think of anything else. Then they put a big box around this. And I make it one block visually. In other words, one block where I can see all these three things together. If you look in your notebook, you'll see what I mean. I don't want to manage action items. I want to manage by a different sort of chunking called an OPA block. Now, here's the next step. We're in step number two, right? What have we done? First, we captured. Second, we created a master OPA plan, at least one OPA block. We're going to finish the day by taking all these silly action items and turn them into results we're going after. So let's look at what you do next. If you look at this OPA block, three steps to create an OPA block, you did it. What's the outcome? What's the purpose? What are the specific actions I need to take to make it happen? Those three questions are the basis of creating a master plan. But to enhance it, there's a couple things we'll want to do, five to be specific, that are real simple. Number one, we need to put these action items in a sequence of how we'd really attack them. Does that make sense? Like, am I really going to call Lenny first when I know he probably wants testimonials? And I thought, no, what I need to do is step number one in the little section of priority, I write step number one is to brainstorm the possible testimonials. And I say, okay, number two is I'll call Lenny. Number three is I should brainstorm the budget and why we should do it. And step four, I'll call Greg Ranker. And then finally, step number five is I'll call Greg Norman. Now I look at that list and I say, you know what? That's an amazing list. But remember I said there are five little keys that'll just enhance this immensely. Five, real simple. You know the three questions and there's five little things you'll do that'll really enhance your plan. You're going to look at this list of action items and you need to put them in a priority. So I look at the list and say, which one of these is the most important for me to do? I thought, well, calling Lenny's great, but I'd say calling Greg Norman may be the most important thing I could do. Would you agree with me on that? So I made that number one. And guess what? That wasn't even on my to-do list to start with. You go, Tony, that's terrible. You made your to-do list longer already. Yeah, I made my to-do list longer, but what I really did is I'm going to get a real result that matters. I'm not just going to call a bunch of people. Do you follow? So I go, that's number one. Then is calling Lenny number two? I thought, no, because the truth of the matter is, if you look at it, Lenny's going to want to know about the testimonials. So step number two is brainstorm the testimonials. Then step three is call Lenny. Then I thought, I don't need to call Greg until I first brainstorm how I'm going to handle the budget. So I write that down as number four. And then finally, number five is call Greg Ranker. Does that make sense? So we put them in a priority. That's the first of the five. Second step. I have a core belief that makes a huge difference in keeping me from being overwhelmed and making me not only productive but fulfilled. And that's a simple belief you already know. 20% of the things you do produce 80% of the results you're after. So I don't have to do this whole list I thought about. I thought, okay, let me asterisk, and this is what you'll always do, put them in priority, and then asterisk the must action items. What are the ones that if I get tight on time, that if I just did these, I'd have made major progress on my infomercial? Which ones would you guess? Well, certainly calling Greg Norman. Does that make sense? So I asterisk that as a must. And then I thought, well, I definitely need to brainstorm the testimonials. And I definitely need to call Lenny. Greg, I could schedule for another day. Because we don't have to go to the budget today. We're not at that point yet. So I don't have to do those today. Those are not must. Do you follow me on that? So I wrote, of the five items on my list, three of them were musts. So that's the second of the five items. Here's the third piece. Now you figure out how much time each action item will take. So you get clear. So you're not kidding yourself about how much time it's going to take to do this OPA block. So I look down and I say, okay, call Greg Norman. How long will that take? About 15 minutes, maybe even less, maybe 10. But, you know, in order to give myself some fudge factor, and this is a clue I'll give you, is I tend to overstate just a little bit. And I don't exaggerate and say 45 minutes for something that's going to take 10 minutes because that'll stress you out too. Remember, everything is a balance. So I know I can get it done in 15 minutes. Great. So I write that down. So now I come to brainstorming. Well, how much time will it take to come up with those testimonials? And I said, well, probably 10 minutes. I mean, I know the core people. I just need to brainstorm it out. Great. Then I think, okay, call Lenny. Uh-oh. I love you, Lenny. I know you're going to hear this, but it's hard to have a short conversation with Lenny because there's so much on his to-do list. So what happens is I might be on the line with him for 30 minutes. I thought, man, I don't think I have 30 minutes. I mean, I have so much I have to get done in that morning before I'm on stage by 9:45. But I thought, okay, let me just write down what I think it'll take, 30 minutes. Could be less, could be 20. Then I say, okay, brainstorm the budget. Oh, that'll take 10 minutes. That's easy. Call Greg Ranker. Probably 20 minutes. All right, so I look at my list, and here's what you do next. Fourth item, estimate the amount of time real briefly. So I do that. So I add up that time, and at the total of that time for that OPA block, if I take the time I said to brainstorm testimonials, time for Lenny, et cetera, comes to an hour and a half. And I write that hour and a half in the left margin right next to the OPA block. Again, if you look in your book, you'll see where to put it. But then I think, you know what? An hour and a half is a long time. I don't know if I have that in the morning. What's the must time? What's the minimum time for me to actually get my outcome of making major progress towards producing an outstanding new infomercial? And the answer to that is, I look at the asterisks and I say, okay, Lenny's 30 minutes, Greg is 45 minutes, and brainstorming the testimonials is 10 minutes. So it's 55 minutes, so it's an hour. I'm like, well, that's great. So then I write down that hour and I say, that's the minimum time I need to work on this. So now I look at the next step, the fifth element. And that is, I say, where can I get leverage? Remember we talked about that when we talked about time targets? Like, can some of this be done by somebody else? And my first answer is, no, I'm the only one who can do this. And I thought, no, I don't have to call Lenny. If I've made the list of testimonials, I can have my assistant fax it to him, call him personally and say, Tony's anticipating this is what you want. If there's something else, let me know, and I'll make sure he calls you tomorrow to set up a time to chat and follow through. But if you can send him a fax of your requests, he can look at it late tonight, and he can download the answer to your voicemail or to your email. I thought, oh, my God, what does that do? Saves me 30 minutes. So I put next to call Lenny, and the L-E-V, you'll see that, it stands for leverage. And I write, leverage for Lenny. I write TK, which is Tina Kennedy, my personal assistant. TK will take care of that. So next to the time, I change the time from 30 minutes to 5 minutes, because I'm going to have to spend 5 minutes to explain to her what I wanted to do. It won't even take that. That gives me plenty of fudge factor. So now what's the time? So now I got 10 minutes with testimonials. That's the must, right? Call Lenny. Now it takes me only 5 minutes because it's completely leveraged. And I think, you know what? I'll have her call Greg Ranker and tell him that I'll talk to him at the end of next week unless he needs me sooner and that Tony is working on the budget if that's what you're calling about. So guess what? I get to have those two leveraged as well. I don't have to spend that time and the result happens. I get to cross it off my list. I don't have a to-do there. Somebody else does. I like that idea and I'm still making the progress. So I write TK, TK. I love writing TK. You need to get yourself a TK. If you don't have somebody to leverage, do get somebody. Be smart. So I look at that and I go, okay, now it's going to take me 10 minutes for the testimonials, 5 minutes for Lenny, 15 minutes for Greg. So next to the slash, I change and say it's only going to take me 30 minutes. And I go, Tony, wow, you spent so much time to do this. You know what? It takes me 15 minutes to design my entire day. It's taken me 20 minutes to explain to you how to do one open block. Explaining and doing are two different things, especially after you've done it a few times. In the beginning, you'll be like, what's the next step, Tony? But after you've done it for a while, it's like, wham! You'll do it faster than most people do a to-do list, and you'll have a plan that'll get results. So what if I end up doing? I'm going to call Greg Norman, and I'm going to brainstorm my list of testimonials, and that's it. Everything else is handled. And guess what I do? I say, okay, this list of making the budgets, if I get to it, great. If not, I'll carry that over to another day. I'll write in the capture section of another day and forget about it till that day. Or I'll write it down for next week's capture section, because we have a weekly planner I'll show you later on. Does that make sense? Are you following me? So look, guess what I've done? I've taken an hour and a half's worth of work and made it 30 minutes. And in 30 minutes, I can make significant progress on the production of my next world-class infomercial, and I'm going to have the impact and the feeling of changing lives and the fun and expanding the identity and move myself closer to earning the money that I deserve as well. Isn't that great compared to call Lenny and call Greg? Oh, yeah, it's great, but sure took a lot more time for you to do this. Again, it won't when you do it after a while, but I'll tell you, what if it did? A little more time. Let me tell you what happened. I did the first action item on my list to get this outcome. I called Greg Norman the next morning, got him on the phone, and I said, listen, buddy, I want to congratulate you on winning the World Series of Golf. And he says, Tony, I can't even believe you're calling me right now. He said, you must have telepathy. I'm sitting down right now writing you a note to thank you for what you did to help me. He said, you know that whole thing you talk about changing state? He said, I was down by 4 strokes. And I not only turned it around, but I won by 4 strokes. I said, I know, I didn't get to see the actual tournament, but I said, I read about it in the paper. He said, it was fantastic. He said, you know, people thought I was all nuts. I kept doing that thing with my arm and changing my state. And he said, it was awesome. I said, that's great, buddy. I said, listen, I'm doing a seminar today. I'm in the midst of it. It's early in the morning here because I was in Hawaii and he was back east. And I said, but I'm calling to congratulate you, but honestly, I'm calling to ask a favor too. And if it doesn't work for you, it's totally fine with me. I said, but I'm building my next infomercial, and I know you know the quality of results of this. And I said, I'm no dummy. I'm calling you today while you're in victory state. And he started laughing. I said, so I'd love it if you'd be willing to give me a testimonial or just a quote, you know, something that'll let people know that my work really works. He said, are you kidding me? Absolutely. No problem. Have your guy call me. So I thought, awesome. I said, thanks so much. Conversation probably lasted 6 or 7 minutes, not 15. So then guess what? Lenny's going to get a larger testimonial list. He's going to be one happy camper. I go to TK and I say, Tina, guess what? Add to that testimonial list Greg Norman. She said, you're kidding. I said, no, this is awesome. I said, when you tell that to Lenny, he won't want to talk to me. He'll be just being out of his mind. It'll be perfect. And when you call Greg Ranker, tell him not only I'm working on the budget, but tell him who I got in the show. He'll be out of his mind. So sure enough, guess what? Bam, bam, bam. If I did nothing else, 6 minutes, 7 minutes gave me massive progress towards creating an outstanding, my best ever infomercial. Do you follow? So maybe I spent, 5 minutes longer than I normally would to make a to-do list. Maybe 10 if I was insane, or 15. But what did I get out of it? See, you don't want to mistake movement for achievement. Crossing off your to-do list is movement. You want to become a strategist, a thinker, and OPA will give you that. That's how it'll transform your productivity. That's how it'll transform your life. You will think of things you wouldn't have thought of before. You will produce results you haven't produced before. Let's quickly run through the rest here. I won't make it all perfect for you because you can look it in your notebook if you want. But let's look at my original capture list because we're not done. We're still on step 2, create a master plan. We have one outcome, but we want to get all of them, all the things for the day that are most important. So I thought, okay, let me look at my capture list. And guess what? I get to cross off call Lenny, and I get to cross off call Greg Rankert. And I didn't do either one. It's so cool. And I did something more important that really works towards a real outcome. So what's left? I thought, okay, what else relates here? And I looked around. I said, call my son Josh, call my stockbroker, have dinner with Becky, go running, meet with Sam. I thought, what's the most important outcome of the day? And I realized it's not even on my list. I need to conduct an absolutely outstanding life mastery program today on emotional mastery. I thought, so that's my outcome. Conduct an outstanding life mastery program on emotional mastery today. I said, okay, what's the second question, OPA? Well, what's my purpose? Why do I want to do this? What will it give me? Well, first of all, emotions are life. The way people feel determines who they are, what they'll do or not do, what direction their life turns, how they're going to respond to challenges and opportunities. And I'm a master of this, and I want to have some fun with people. And I'm going to change lives, make a difference, and have an impact. And guess what? Now I am juiced. Instead of, oh, I got another seminar to do tomorrow, I'm like, let's rock and roll. So then my question is, what do I need to do to prepare and conduct that? I thought, well, I got to review my outcomes for the day. Because how do you think I conduct a seminar? I don't just have a bunch of content. I say, what's the result I want people to have by the end of the day? I said, I need to review those outcomes, which, by the way, are things like having people have absolute certainty that even in the most difficult environment, that they will triumph emotionally. You look at somebody like a Nelson Mandela or a Mother Teresa or a Christopher Reeve, and you see what's happened to these people and how they have triumphed over everything. That comes from emotional fitness, emotional mastery. And there are ways I do that to measure it in the seminar and to give people experiences, not just conversations that put them on the line. And some of those are physical experiences that challenge their fears. So I say, okay, number one, I got to review the outcomes for the day. I need to also review the sequence of what I'm going to do. Because it's great to have an outcome, but what are you going to do first, second, and third changes people's experience. So I need to review my syntax, so I'm clear about that. And I also need to do my incantation. I need to get myself in state. See, I don't just show up and hope I feel good. I do this incantation where I literally shout, put myself in state, and I say, I now command my subconscious mind to direct me in helping as many people as possible this morning to change their lives by giving me the strength, the emotion, the brevity, the humor, the playfulness, whatever it takes to show these people and get these people to change their life for the better right now. And I do that over and over again for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes till I'm vibrating. When I walk in the room, I have all this energy, and people go, wow, isn't he amazing? And very often people say, you're amazing. You always have this energy. I don't always wake up with it. I put myself in state.
This session continues on the opposite side.
I thought, what else I got to do? Well, I got to conduct the first half of the day, the morning session and afternoon session. What else do I got to do in order to get this outcome? I got to effectively conduct the second half of the day from 6 o'clock to 11:30, 11:45. And I need to also brainstorm anything else I need to do to E-cube the day. E-cube means make it totally entertaining, like fun, and also totally educational, the best tools and totally empowering. So I look at that list and I end up with 6 items. Guess what, though? There's only 1 outcome. It's to create this outstanding day. So what do you do next? I know my outcome. I know my purpose. I know my action plan. What's the order? The order I ended up with was the order I just gave you. So I say, which of these are musts? Well, I've got to review my outcomes for the day. I already know my syntax. It's in my gut. So I don't have to do that. And I need to do my incantation and get in state. Those are 2. Obviously, I'm going to do the seminar. I don't have to make that a must. That's simple. How much time is it going to take? Well, I'll leave the seminar time out because I know how many hours that is. Just look at the other items I'm going to have to hit in my off time. Reviewing the outcomes of the day, that's a maximum of 10 minutes. Doing my incantations, 5 minutes. So guess what? If I add all this stuff up, the amount of time it takes for me is 35 minutes. When I look at the must time, it's 15. It takes me 15 minutes to put myself in a position to conduct an extraordinary day. I look at my list and I go, that wasn't on my to-do list. Minor detail, being prepared for the day. See, to-do lists aren't outcome-driven, so you tend to leave out things that are really, really, really important. So I look at my list again and say, okay, what do I got left here? Well, I got things here like go running and lift weights. And I thought, you know what? What does that relate to? I thought, in order to do a great job today, in order to be ready, I need to be in best physical shape possible. So I thought, what's my outcome? I need to prepare my body for what I'm going to put it through today and get my structure aligned. And I thought, and I also need to make progress, continue to develop my strength and my endurance. So I said, okay, let me simplify that outcome. What am I going to call it? I'm going to call it prepare my body and make major progress on expanding my energy and endurance. Does that make sense? I thought, okay, that's great. I'm going to prepare my body for the day so I'm ready to rock and roll, and I'm going to make major progress in expanding my energy and endurance. So what's my purpose? Why do I want to do that? Because I need to be pure energy up there. You're not going to move 1,500, 1,800, 2,000 people, many of which don't even speak your own language, unless you're on fire up there. And I need that fire not just to be mental enthusiasm. I have to have my body ready for it. Why else? I need it for impact, the energy for impact. Why else? Because I love the feeling of power in my body when I'm in my best physical shape. It gives me the power to influence, and it's fun. So now I have all the reasons why I want to make major progress in my body. That's different than saying, got to lift some weights, got to go run, got to do those so I can cross them off my to-do list, right? So what I did is I come back and say, okay, what do I need to do to be prepared for the day? And I have a series of exercises. They're very similar to yoga from an expert that I absolutely, by the way, would recommend. His name is Pete Egoscue. He has a book out there called Pain Free. The man is the best in the world I've ever seen for showing you what you need to do so your body is as strong as it can be structurally. So you don't have a bad back, because I was in a car accident years ago. So every morning I do those exercises. So I went, do my Egoscue work. And I said, lift weights. It's the second item. Third was go running. Fourth was schedule some acupuncture, because my body feels out of kilter because I've gone from one country to another country and now here. That'd be a great thing to do. And I thought, you know what? As long as I'm here, there's a great chiropractor. I should have him adjust me. So I write down five action items. Now, do I have to do all those to prepare my body and expand my sense of physical strength and endurance? The answer is no. So I say, which ones are the musts? I said, I got to do my Egoscue work and I must lift weights. I got to have my body prepared and I want to increase my strength. Everything else is a bonus if I do it. So I said, how much time? Egoscue work will take 20 minutes, my stretches. 45 minutes lift weights, short, powerful workout. If I go running, it'll be 20 minutes because I'm already lifting weights that day, so I'm not going to do both. And 5 minutes for me to schedule the acupuncture because it's for tomorrow or maybe tonight if he's available. And maybe 20 minutes for chiropractic. So I add all that up. I go, okay, 20 and 45, that's an hour. Another 5 plus the 20 is 25 minutes. Another 5 is 30, that's an hour and a half, plus 30 minutes of the chiropractor. You know, it's 2 hours. How much must time, though? 1 hour. 20 minutes for Egoscue, 45 minutes for lifting weights. Does that make sense? So now I know, push comes to shove, I can do this in an hour. If I got more time, I can do it all of it in 2 hours. I don't have to do it all. I'm not one of those guys trying to cross off everything on my to-do list. I'm a guy trying to get my outcome. Now let's see how much you remember, even if you're not looking down on it. What's my day look like so far? I need to make major progress on my infomercial, make it world class, and I only have a few musts there. I got to brainstorm a list of testimonials, and I got to call Greg Norman. What else I got to do? I need to make sure that I'm fully prepared for the Life Mastery Program so I can do an outstanding job in conducting it. That's easy. What else do I need to do? Make major progress on my physical body. So I probably have 15 or 16 or 17 action items in that list, but I only have 3 outcomes. Do you think that's a little easier for your brain to deal with? You think that's the opposite of the woman I talked about on the last tape who makes things a million items she has to think about at once? This is easy. I don't even have to open my notebook and I begin to know what I need to do. And by the way, could I come up with a totally different set of actions that would make my infomercial become better? Could I think of something else? Could I come up with something totally different to prepare myself for life mastery? Am I tied into this to-do list? No, I'm tied into the outcome. Can I find a way to make major progress and not do it by lifting weights or Egoscue if there's a new opportunity shows up? You know, can I do that new opportunity if I choose it? Could I play basketball? Could I do something else? You bet. Flexibility is power. See, this is not about being anal. This is not about coming up with such a list that you can't do it. You go, what do you mean? Robin's listening to you. It's taking forever to make this list. Again, it's taking forever to explain it to you. I can do it 5 times faster than I can explain it to you. And after you've done it a few times, first few times, you won't know what to do. You'll listen to the tape again. You'll go, what the heck did that guy say? All right, step one was capture. Step two was create the OPA plan. Okay, I remember those 3 questions. What was I supposed to do? 5 things. Put them in priority. Figure out which ones are musts versus shoulds. Okay. Figure out of that grouping how much time it's going to take. Must versus should. Okay. Then figure out, could I leverage any of this stuff? Okay. Put a block around it. Circle that little outcome and rock and roll. I can handle that. And I finished step two when I finished everything on the list. Make sense? So now what do I do? Cross off on my capture list, go running and lift weights. Oh, cool. My list is starting to disappear. So now I look down and see what other outcomes most important for me to achieve this day. And I look down and I see, I see call Josh and I see dinner with Becky. And I think, you know what? What do those two relate to? What's the outcome that's really important here? Why do I want to call Josh? Why do I want to spend a dinner with Becky? Well, because I want to support my family. You know, I want to make sure Josh takes the next steps in his career and that they both feel loved. So I said, okay, let's make that simpler. What's my outcome? Support my family and taking the next step in their careers and in feeling loved. Why? What's my purpose? Because they deserve my support. I'm out here helping people from all over the earth. I got to make sure I help my own family. Why else? Because I love them more than anything on earth. Why else? Because I've been put in their lives for a reason. Why else? Because supporting them and making effective decisions makes a difference. Why else? Because I'm an outstanding father and an extraordinary husband. Those are a couple of my roles. Now, do you think I feel like doing this now, even though I got a full day? You bet I do. So I say, okay, what do I need to do? I need to call Josh regarding 2 specific things. What else do I need to do? Well, I need to have dinner with Becky. Now, what else do I need to do? you know, I should call Jolie, my daughter, because she's in New York, and I helped her make that decision at one point when she didn't think that was a great idea, and it really made a difference in her career, but it's time to move to L.A. And she wants to, but she's got fears about it. So let me call Jolie and just plant the seed. I don't have to convince her. Just plant the seed about really going to L.A. and following through on it and see where her head's at about it. And I thought, you know what, as long as I'm doing this, who else in my family? I need to call my son Tyler and just check in. Maybe actually, since I got so many people on the list, maybe I'll have Becky call Tyler today and tell me how things are going with him. I thought, well, that's leverage, L-E-V, and I go, B-R, Becky Robbins. I think, okay, I got to make sure my son Jarrett gets a postcard from me because he loves those from all over the world and he collects them. It means a lot to him. So I think, okay, boy, I got a long list here. Let's see how long this is really going to take and which ones are the must today. They may not all be necessary today. I got to call Josh today. I don't want another day to go by. I've got to have dinner with Becky. So I have two must action items. How much time for all this stuff? Well, calling Josh, 10 minutes is all I need. I just need to call him, connect with him, and let him know that Big Brother is watching, right? And that I care about him, and I want to make sure he's making progress. So he knows I'm on top of it. I thought, okay, having dinner with Becky, I need at least an hour. An hour is probably realistic for a day of the seminar. I thought, okay, what about the rest of these things? Call Jolie. Okay, well, that's 10 minutes. Call Tyler. That's 5 minutes, but that's really Becky. She can do that, and I'll call him next week. And then she can call Jolie next week. We'll just swap. So the kids here are hearing from both of us. You know, make sure Jarrett gets a postcard. That's 5 minutes max. So I add all that up. And how much time is it? An hour and a half. But only two of those items are musts. Call Josh. Have dinner with Becky. Add them up. It's an hour and 10 minutes. Great. If I have enough time, I'll do them all. If I don't, in an hour and 10, I can really get my outcome of supporting my family and taking the next step in their careers and feeling really loved. I fall in this. Now I have four outcomes. I have two more outcomes to get rid of my whole list. Let's do it together real quick. I cross off, by the way, on my list now, call my son Josh. That's off the capture list. And I cross off dinner with Becky. So what's left on my list? I've got call my stockbroker. I've got meet with Sam. And I got dictate a note to Peter Guber. Everything else is done now, and it's put in an outcome instead of some disassociated, stupid to-do list. My goal is to break you of these, whatever it takes. So here, what I got here. I said, well, what's my outcome? I said, well, call the stockbroker. What's my outcome? I thought my outcome there is really clear. I want to ensure that my return on investment this year stays above 200%. Why? Because I want to be an example of what's possible. Most people think, gosh, if I can get 10 or 20%, I'm just thrilled. And I learned these strategies from someone I was coaching, a man who made $500 million in one day, one of my clients. I've worked with him for the last 4.5 years, and I thought, if he can do that with billions, I should be able to do that with hundreds of thousands. So, and I want to help other people to do it. So I said, okay, why do I want to do this? Why do I want to keep my return at 200% plus this year if I can possibly do it? To be an example of what's possible, to ensure the $1 million I've already made is safe, and because it feels fun to be a financial genius, because that's one of my roles. Under my absolute financial freedom is be a financial genius. It makes me playful. It makes me think about things. It gives me a mindset to go after. So I said, okay, well, what are the action items? I said, well, I got to call my broker and ask his opinion about the volatility of the market and what should we do? So I just call my broker to ask his opinion. I thought, what else do I need to do? I thought, well, before I call him, what specifically do I need to do so I'm prepared? I thought, well, I need to do a quick technical analysis of the Dow charts. And then I thought, in order to do that, what specifically do I need to do? I thought, well, I have to download the information from the internet. And then I thought, you know, I need to talk to Josh's broker because his account could be affected by this as well. So I say, okay, out of those things, what have I got? I got a clear outcome, clear purpose. I got four action items. I look at them and say, what's the order? I thought, well, before I can call my broker, number one is I need to do a quick technical analysis of the Dow charts. Number two, I need to download the information from the internet. Number three, I need to call my broker to ask his opinion. Number four, I need to talk to the broker about Josh's account. Which of these are musts? Well, I got to do the technical analysis. I got to call the broker. Because you know what? I can leverage downloading the information from the internet to guess who? Good old TK, Tina Kennedy. I'll have her do that first thing in the morning before I even get up. So it'll already be in front of me. I can do that quickly. So I thought, okay, 15 minutes to do the analysis. 5 minutes to download the information from the internet. It won't even take that. It's just telling her I need her to do it for me. She knows how. Calling my broker, getting his opinion. 15 minutes, probably 10 realistically. And then talk to the broker about Josh's account. 5 minutes. What's the total time there? At the worst case, it's 15 minutes for the analysis, 10 minutes to download, 15 minutes to call my broker, 5 minutes to talk to the other broker. It's 45 minutes. But how much time really for me? 15 minutes to do the analysis, 10 minutes to talk to my broker. Guess what? That's 25 minutes. Push comes to shove. I can do what matters most and get the outcome of ensuring my return on investment stays above 200% or doing my best to do that anyway in 20, 25 minutes. So now I have five outcomes. So I have one thing left on my list. Let's go back and see. I've got meet with Sam and dictate a note to Peter Guber. I thought, you know what? I don't need to dictate a note to Peter today. I just want to stay in touch. So let me write that down 3 days from now in the capture section. Or you know what? Better than that, I don't know which day I want to do it on. So I turn in my weekly capture. So when I go to plan next week, I'll be reminded this is something I want to do, and I'll put it together as part of a plan. And I'll write down in my capture section for the week, dictate a note to Peter G. Guess what? I get to cross it off my list because it doesn't belong in today. What about Sam? Well, what does Sam really want to talk to me about is the systems at the Anthony Robbins companies. So I thought, okay, what's the outcome there? Sam wants to meet with me to talk about our systems integration. So what I do is I say, okay, I can just have a meeting with him and I write it down as an action item, but what does that relate to that's important to me? What's an outcome I want? I wrote down for myself, I want to make major progress in supporting our company, ARC, Anthony Robbins Companies, in its systems integration and refining its marketing programs. He doesn't have anything to talk about marketing on the list, but that's very important. Otherwise, again, you have a great idea and it dies on your lips because you don't market it. So I said, why? Why do I want to make major progress in supporting our company and integrating this new system? I put, well, it'll make things easier for our customer service people. Why else? Our customers deserve even greater support. Why else? It'll make sure we reach the largest number of people in the shortest period of time if I increase the marketing. And lastly, because I want our organization to constantly improve and be impeccable. And what's the role? I'm father of the clan. I need to make sure the clan is taken care of. So I say, well, what are some of the action items? Well, number one, meet with Sam regarding the update on the systems integration. And number two, I say, in order to increase marketing, I need to call Deb Hines and get a simple update on the refinement of the marketing plan that we just had a meeting on last week. I need to know that there's progress or there's not. And I thought, thirdly, I could have a conference call with our customer service representatives and update them about what's happening at Life Mastery so they can share that information. So which of those are musts? Calling Sam, calling Deb. How much time? 10 minutes for Sam, 5 minutes for Deb, 5 minutes for the conference call, 20 minutes total, musts are 15 minutes. I'm ready to rock and roll. I got 6 outcomes. Now, that took a lot to explain and to read it out loud to you. But how fast can you read it in your mind? Bam! So I want to give you an idea. Without even looking down, I bet you can remember that out of 35 or so action items for the day, maybe 40, you're not going to remember all that. But I bet you can remember 4, 5, or 6 of these outcomes. What was the first one? Make major progress on producing the most outstanding infomercial of the day. I even bet you remember one of the key action items. What was it? Call Greg Norman. What was number two? Prepare for what? Do you remember? Life Mastery. Do an outstanding job. What was the third item? Make major progress on my physical body. Well, how did I word it? Prepare my body for the demands and expand my capacity for energy and endurance. What was number four? Support my family in taking the next steps in their careers and in feeling loved. What was number five? Ensure that I maintain my 200% plus ROI, return on investment. And what was number six? Support my company in integrating its new system and expanding its marketing capacity. Now, again, that's a pretty full day, wouldn't you say? Now, most of my days, honestly, when I'm doing a seminar, not this way. I picked this day because it was an incredibly productive day because I did my OPA plan. There are days when I say, you know what, I just got to go through the day and I get up and just do the seminar. I'm not very productive, honestly. I haven't done it every single day with this precision. But in the last 2 or 3 years, I've gotten where I do this consistently because it takes me 10 or 15 minutes and I'm able to choose what to do or not do. Do I have to get all 6 of these outcomes for my day to be unbelievably productive and outstanding? Yes or no? No way. In fact, I decided in the end, I don't need the 6th outcome. I'm going to move that whole outcome to another day. And what's cool is if you've done this on the software, you push one button and move it to another day. If you've done it in paper, I'll show you how to deal with that. You put an arrow through it, and then you notice what outcome it is on that day, and you decide what day you're going to do it on. Say today is the 3rd of the month, and I decide I don't want to do this today. I want to work on this whole OPA block on a different day, let's say on the 6th. Well, today's the 3rd. I draw an arrow through the whole block, moving to the right, so it points that it's being moved. Then I turn to the 6th, to the capture section. And what do? I write down C, August 3rd, outcome number 6. So that when I get to that day, I can rewrite that OPA block if I want. I'll look back and see if I want to do it, or I can move it to another day. On the computer, again, you can just do it by pushing one button. Does that make sense? So the bottom line is I end up having only 5 outcomes, which feels less stressful. If I get to number 6, great, but it's not a must for me. So now, do we have a master plan now that's pretty extraordinary, different than a little to-do list? Are we better off now with these 6 outcomes than with the list of things we had in our capture to start with, yes or no? You know, this is how you produce the results you want in your life. Can you see that now? I've teased you, I've harassed you, I've kidded you, because you really got to get rid of that to-do planner. You've got to develop a system of thinking and organizing. And you don't have to do as much as I do by any stretch. But I want you to know there's no limit. And the more you do this, the better you'll get and the more fun it'll be. So let's finish our five steps real quick. Five master steps of planning. We'll use the day as the example. What was step number one? Capture. What do you do? Dump everything in your mind out. Outcomes, results, action items, phone calls, anything you think needs to get done for that day or of the week or the month or the project. Now, step two, create a what? OPA plan. What do you do? Three questions. What is the most important what? Outcome. And what will help you to do that is if you look at your to-do list and see what things kind of group together. They have a natural relationship. And then ask yourself, what's the outcome of this? Second, with each outcome, ask, what is my purpose? Why do I want this? What will this give me? Why will this juice me? What feelings will this cause me to create? Get it so it's compelling, so you want to make that outcome happen. Because otherwise, it's just another to-do list. And then thirdly, what specific, not general, what specific action items do I need to take in order to make this happen? So if you said, well, I need to do some research, is that specific? No. Your test for specific is you should be able to look at it or give it to someone else and they could do it for you. You could leverage to them. So instead of do research, you might say, spend 20 minutes on the internet examining three companies that could produce what I'm after. You get the idea? Be more specific. Now, once you've come up with your OPA block, we said there are five keys to juicing up and getting even greater results. What were they? Number one, prioritize. What's first, second, third, fourth? Because when you come to this block, you want to know where to go. Number two, come up with a must action items. Which of the ones are total must? 20% of what you're going to do is going to give you 80% of your outcomes. Number three, give a time to it. Estimate the time for each action item and total it. Total the total time versus the must time. Circle that must time so you know, hey, this whole OPA block could only take me that little amount of time and I can produce this major outcome. Four, look for leverage. See if there's anything there that you can get someone else to do so you can spend time getting results. You don't have to get the result. You just want the result to happen, right? Think differently. And step five, actually outline the OPA block like you'll see in your book and skip a line. It's very important before you draw the next OPA block because otherwise they start getting jammed together and it seems like a lot. And I'll tell you something else I do. I put a circle around my outcomes. So when I glance down at the page, my brain instantly not only knows the location, but it looks at the outcome section with a circle around it and says, that is the target. And again, if you want to know those little details, like what do those PRI stand for, it's priority. And the little column to the left that says DUR is duration, like how much time are you going to spend? And LEV is leverage, the initials of whoever you're going to leverage it to. When you do your OPA block, look it up in your book and it'll show you exactly where to draw it and how to skip a line. It'll show you in the manual and you'll know exactly what to do. If you have a video along with this program, it can visually show you the answers to many things I'm describing for you here. And by the way, trying to describe a picture is worth 1,000 what? Words. One of the reasons this takes so darn long is I'm telling you. But I also know that when people get a manual, they tend to check out. But if you listen to my voice now and you use it to follow along in your manual, this will make a whole lot of sense and it'll be really easy. So step three now is commit. Commit your time, your resources, and your responsibilities. See, most people focus on movement rather than achievement, right? With an OPA plan, you now have a tool that instantly focuses you on the results you want, instantly provides you with a sense of purpose and drive. However, no plan will be worthwhile unless you bring one emotion to that plan, and that is commitment. See, it's great to create a plan and say, I know I could do this, but you now got to emotionally, psychologically commit. And remember, 80% of success is emotional. It's psychological. It's training yourself to think about outcomes and to resolve when you're going to do them. Now, this is not the same as scheduling. This will make a whole lot more sense, honestly, when you see this on a weekly basis. Because you'll have your OPA blocks, and by the way, you'll number them. I left that out. You'll say, which OPA block is number one? Which one's number two? For example, I decided that the number one OPA block on my list was making major physical progress. So I put a number one next to that circled outcome. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look at the list and you'll see. Number two, I decided was being fully prepared for life mastery, that sequentially I need to do that in the morning. Number three, I thought, was I really need to make progress on my infomercial. Number four for me was I absolutely want to make progress on my family. Number five for me was making progress on my return on investment. And finally, the sixth outcome was making progress on the integration of the systems in our company and the expanding of our market. Do you follow that? So you actually number the outcomes so you know which order to go for. That way, when you're in the middle of your day and somebody interrupts you and you go, oh my gosh, what do I do? What am I going to do? You look down and say, what's the next outcome? Oh, great. What's the must action item? Which one do I go to first? How much time is it going to take? Let's do it. Rock. So the commit section What it allows you to do is, if you were doing a week, you look at these outcomes and say, how much time am I going to spend on that outcome on Monday? Or am I going to work on it on Wednesday? And you write in the block how much time, and you'll see an example of that in your book. And then you think of another outcome. I'm going to work on that on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and you decide an hour on Thursday for that OPA block. And what it allows you to do is add up everything you say you're going to go after on Monday, everything on Tuesday, and if Monday has 26 hours booked into it, before you schedule it, you'll know you've overbooked yourself. So you're committing time. Again, if you watch the video, if you read your manual, this will be a lot more clear than trying to describe it to you verbally rapidly. But think of it this way. On a daily basis, you're committing when you say, I'm going to work on this OPA block from 9 to 10 a.m. You're not actually scheduling it because you have flexibility. You might work 9 to 10 and you may work on it later on and some more. Scheduling is the next step, by the way. And when you schedule, that's step number 4, you're actually saying, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to meet Sam Georges. At 5 o'clock, I'm going to have dinner with Becky. That's scheduling. But first, you got to emotionally commit and block out the times you're going to focus on the outcomes you want. Again, let's actually look at the process on a daily basis. It'll start to give you an idea. And trust me on this. When you see us do a weekly plan, it'll make even more sense to you. But here's what I did. I said, okay, I've got these 6 outcomes, 5 of which I'm really committed to. When am I going to do this tomorrow? So I open up to that page. So you look at your daily page, go ahead and look back at it, and you'll see on the left-hand page, the second column, that is where it shows schedule. So I said, okay, what's my schedule? I'm going to bed at 1:30 in the morning. I'm going to be up by 6:30. That'll give me 5 hours sleep. So here's what I do. I block out the time. I'm committing right now. I haven't scheduled it. Schedule would lock it in where I wouldn't have a choice. I'm just committing, see what the day looks like. So I draw a little bracket from 6:30 to 7:15, and I write down outcome number 1, physical. That's all I write. I don't have to write the whole thing. And if I want, I write down the key thing. What I'm going to do that morning is Egoscue. I write Egoscue down and chiropractic. And that's what it's going to take. So I'm going to do my Egoscue for roughly 20 minutes, and I'm going to see the chiropractor for roughly 20 minutes. Then 7:15 to 7:30 is outcome number 2, prepare for life mastery. How do I know it's 15 minutes? Look at the must time on my OPA block. So yeah, I know that's what I'm going to do it. Then from 7:30 to 8, I gave myself 30 minutes to work on outcome number 3, my infomercial. And I write outcome 3, and what I usually do is just O-3, I abbreviate it. I write infomercial / Greg N. So I know that's what I'm going to do there. Then from 8 to 8:15, I write down outcome 4, O-4, and I write family / Josh, because it's the outcome is family and Josh is the call I'm going to make. It's the must call. And so 8:15 to 8:45, I've given myself outcome number 5, O-5, 200% broker. And it won't take me that long. I'm giving myself some fudge factor because I'll probably think about something or get interrupted, and I'm giving myself a little room. From 8:45 to 9 a.m. is outcome number 6. I decide, you know what, I can do that morning. I just need 15 minutes, and I write ARC systems / Sam. So I know I'm going to talk to Sam for 15 minutes and resolve things. Then from 9 to 9:30 a.m., I write DNR, which means daily routine. It takes me about 30 minutes to get ready. Take a shower, shave, and get ready to go. 9:45 a.m. to 3:45 p.m., I write outcome number 2, life mastery on stage. 3:45 to 4:45, I do a little bracket, outcome 1, physical, lift weights. 4:45 to 5:45, I write outcome number 4, dinner with Beck. And by the way, that one is my 4th step. I've actually locked that in as a schedule because that's a meeting I'm having. I'm not going to just say I'm blocking time, I'm committing to it, I'm actually scheduling it. And then from 6 to 11:45 is also scheduled. It's outcome 2, life mastery on stage. And then at midnight, I found out Charles Mardell is available, the acupuncturist, and I put down outcome number 1 at midnight for 30 minutes acupuncture. You say, my gosh, that seems like a lot. It is. That's a full day. But can you imagine how I felt at the end of this day? Here's what really happened. I got up in the morning, did my Egoscue work, got my chiropractic work, got my body fully prepared for the day. Felt wonderful. Number 2. Got myself psychologically prepared for life mastery. Thought through what I was going to do. Got excited about it. Ready to rock and roll. I'm feeling physically good. That outcome is solid. Third thing that happened. I called Greg Norman. Boom. He agreed. Wow. Huge progress. Brainstormed my list quickly. In about 15 minutes, I got what I'd scheduled 30 minutes for. Gave me a little breathing room. Plus, look at the progress I made. That's the only thing I did all day, would have been a great day. And I haven't even started the seminar yet. By the way, do you think that makes me rather enthusiastic when I walk in the seminar and know what I've already accomplished for the day? That the day is already a success before I've even begun? Just because I took a little time to plan and think differently than the average person who gets less than average results? See, this is a way that you really get yourself to feel fulfilled. Here's what else happened. I called Josh. I reached him, spoke to him for about 10 minutes, got the exact outcome I want of him knowing that Big Brother was watching and really made him feel loved. I also called Jolie and left a message, didn't reach her. I ended up calling Tyler and leaving a message for him rather than have Becky do it. I also went through and I got someone to go get me a bunch of postcards from the area, like a dozen of them, so later at lunch I could sit down and fill one out, which is what I did, so that Jarrett got the card. And then, of course, I scheduled the dinner for Becky, which I did later in the afternoon. And that whole thing only took me about 10 or 15 minutes. Finally, when I got to outcome number 5, before calling my broker, Tina downloaded the Dow charts, and it took me 5 minutes to review them. I recognized the pattern of what I believe is going on, and I called my broker, and it took only 5 minutes there, so it only took 10 minutes for something I'd scheduled 30 minutes for. But I made huge progress on something that really mattered. Do you follow me on this? I decided not to call Josh's broker because I had some other things I want to do, and I had breathing room to get all this done because I'd estimated times that seemed reasonable, but I gave myself just a little fudge factor. That makes me feel like I'm not stressed going from one thing to the next. I hope you'll want to do the same thing as well. And because I had the time, I actually spent a little more time with Sam, about 20 minutes with him, and got really clear on the system, and I called Deb Hines and left her a message to please send me a fax to tell me how we're progressing on the marketing, which only took me a couple of minutes, and I got that the next day. So all of a sudden, guess what? I've made progress on all my outcomes, and now I get on stage, and I've had an unbelievable morning. I feel physically strong, mentally. I'm emotionally excited about the progress. That affects me massively when I'm teaching emotional mastery. Then I come back, and I go work out, lift weights, and I feel strong in the middle of the day. It breaks up the pattern of being a speaker on stage. I have a great dinner with my wife. I get cleaned up, and I immediately am back on stage to rock again. At the end of the night, I get sedated with some acupuncture where I feel really great and like I put my body in balance and I go to sleep totally excited, having laid out the next day before I went to bed, ready to rock and roll for the next day. This is how you achieve more and feel fulfilled. So I want you now to take your first stab at it. You're not going to be perfect. I don't expect you to be. Don't you expect you to be. You know, this only takes me 10 or 15 minutes. It's taking me an hour to explain it. Just do it. And by the way, in the beginning, and you know, learning how to do this, maybe instead of 15 or 20 minutes for you, it'll take you 30. God forbid if it took you 40. But you know what? That won't last long. A few times you'll have it handled. You know why? There aren't that many outcomes. See, once you start knowing the categories of your life, there aren't that many results you're going after. There aren't that many things that happen on an ongoing basis. Like every day, I know I'm going to make major progress on my physical body. I might change the purpose. I change some of the action items, but that's something that happens every day. That's part of my daily plan. So certain things will become consistent, all right? So I want you to plan a day, and that's what you're going to get. This has been a full session. So let's do a quick review. There are 5 master steps to planning anything. Whether you're planning a day, a week, or a project, doesn't matter. Same 5 steps. What are they? Quick. Come on, I know you got it in your mind. We've done this. Repetition is the mother of skill. Let's do it one more time. Number 1, capture. What are you going to do? Dump down any ideas, any phone calls, anybody you got to talk to, any outcomes, any results, any meetings, anything that's in your head that you think has to get done on this day, drop it down in the capture section. Step 2, after you've had this brain dump, breathe for a moment, don't get overwhelmed by the list, and turn it into an OPA plan. Why? Because you don't want to manage things at the level of action items. It'll make you crazy. You want to turn whatever number of action items you have into real results you're after, into OPA blocks. And if you had a long list of 15 or 20 or 30 items, it may turn into 4 or 5 outcomes, maybe even less. It's a heck of a lot easier to manage, isn't it? So in that step 2, creating your OPA plan, what do you got to do there? Ask the 3 questions. What's my outcome? Out of all these things here, what's the most important outcome for me to achieve today? Why do I want to do it? What's my purpose? What will it give me? How will it juice me? And what specific actions do I need to take to make this happen? Then go through all the other things you know. Put the priority of them. And most importantly, asterisk those items that you believe are the must action items. Remember, 20% of the things you're going to do are going to give you 80% of the results you want. Remember that. You don't have to do this whole darn to-do list. So important to free yourself of that and get yourself focused on results. Okay? And of course, you're going to be looking for leverage wherever you can. What was step 3? Commit. What does it mean to commit? It means when you've got an OPA block, and it's not something you have to do at 2 o'clock today, it's not a scheduled meeting, then commit a time that you're going to work on each one of these OPA blocks. How do you do that? Remember, number each OPA block. Decide which one's 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever you think makes sense. Then look at your calendar for the day and say, okay, from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m., I'm going to do OPA block 1. I go O-1, and I write physical body. And then I'll know to look up that OPA block, and that's what I'm going to work on during that time. What's step 4? Schedule it. Schedule it. You say, well, isn't that what I just did? No, you committed block time to work on Obablocks. But scheduling it means there are certain things that have to happen at 2 o'clock today, a meeting. Or a certain person, you've got to call them at 3:15 because that's the only time you can reach them. Those things need to be scheduled, and those things are not flexible. You say, but Tony, is an Obablock flexible? Of course. If you say you're going to work from 9 to 10 a.m. on Obablock number 4, and it includes phone calls, and you make all the phone calls, but nobody's there, you're going to have to replace that time with another Obablock. And you have to be able to do that on the fly, obviously. But scheduled things don't move. They're locked in place. Finally, when you've done this, you got a great plan. What are you going to do? Go kick butt. You're going to start doing your day. You're going to cross off the things as you accomplish them. If you call somebody and they're not there, you put a little check mark to remind yourself, hey, I'm making progress, but I got to still come back here. And you know what? You're going to be interrupted a million times, probably. People will come in and want things from you. They're going to interrupt you. You're going to get off track. But then you look right back at your open plan and go, hey, I only have 4 outcomes. Let's go back to work on them. Which one's next? That'll keep you on target. I'll tell you a secret about scheduling it also. When you schedule something now, when you've committed and scheduled it, close your eyes and imagine that day being done. Imagine having achieved all the outcomes that you laid out, all 4, 5, 6 outcomes for that day. See the results. Get a feel for the results. Anticipate it. Like, you know when you're a little kid and you're anticipating something great was going to happen? See, part of committing and part of scheduling is thinking about the results that you're going to feel and giving yourself the reward up front. Because if you think about your day and you see those results as complete and you get that programmed into your mind, you're going to find yourself following through and finding a way to get this done very different than if you just wrote it down on a piece of paper. Do you remember when I had you do the exercise where you stood up and pointed your finger and turned as far as you could go? And then I had you close your eyes and envision it and imagine it vividly a couple of times. Remember how much further you went? Your days will accomplish that much more. You'll go that much further in your fulfillment and results. If when you schedule things, you then stop, close your eyes, and imagine the results of that day. But the final step, number 5, remember what it is. Step number 5 is measure, manage, master it, and then celebrate it. And what that really simply means is you've got to measure the result. Can't manage what you don't measure. So quickly, see how you did at the end of the day. Did I get my outcome? Forget all the to-do list stuff. Did I get the result I was after? You know, not only did I get the action items, but did I really get the outcome? That's what's the most important thing. And any ones that I didn't get, there'll be plenty you don't get. What do I need to do with it to manage this and to master it? Maybe I need to do it tomorrow and handle it first. And then the last part of that is to celebrate. We can't build on failure. We can only build on success. So think about what's great about it. Even if you didn't do well today, at least you're being honest with yourself and you're measuring it. If you did well today, who were you today? Celebrate the fact that today you were an outstanding business person, or today you were great at marketing, or today you were a phenomenal mother or father, or today you were a great lover. I don't know. Today you were an outstanding athlete. Whoever you were today, celebrate that so you take in the fulfillment that'll make you want to go tomorrow and make your life even greater. All right? Does that make sense? So tomorrow you're going to learn how to plan out a project, how you can easily manage a huge project, what I call a mega project, or how you can even run a division or run a company. That's going to be session number 7. I'll see you then. Till then, it's Tony Robbins saying, live with passion.